Well, thanks for coming. I'm going to present the results from 35 years of monitoring soil acidification in Alberta. So it seems like kind of a miracle to me that we've managed to keep this project going for that long, but there it is. I'm going to give a brief background on the project. We'll look at the methodology that we're using and results, and we'll follow that with some conclusions. So this program got started back in the late 70s, really, people started talking about it. And it was a response to concerns about acid rain that was coming to the fore in eastern Canada, northeast U.S., and Europe. And in Alberta, we started to ask questions about whether we were experiencing acid rain. We have a large oil and gas development in Alberta. A lot of that oil and gas is sour, so there's sulfur emissions around that, and that got us wondering whether or not we were experiencing acid deposition and perhaps impacts on the terrestrial and aquatic systems in Alberta. So this program was put together. We set up 8 sites across the province on very sensitive soils, very coarse textured soils, poorly buffered. We added a site in 2009, which is our 9th site, and it's related to some heavy industry that was planned for development near Edmonton related to the oil sands development. We've monitored it almost continuously since then. We had a brief hiatus in the late 90s due to some budget constraints, but we got it started up again in 2000. So this is a map of the locations, and you see they span the province from north to south in a number of different natural regions. We've got some in the native prairie to the south, the short grass prairie, and a number in the boreal forest to the north, and we've got some in that transitional parkland zone in between the two areas. Just to give you a sense of where our acid inputs are happening, this is a very coarse-scale modeling exercise that was done a few years ago using the 2006 emission inventory, and the darker blue squares are representative of higher potential acid inputs. And you'll see they tend to be clustered in the south-central part of the province. So that's where we have the largest population density. Our two main cities are there, Edmonton and Calgary. Most of our industry is there, so that's where we tend to see most of the acid inputs. I think if we were to do a finer-scale modeling exercise, which is in the works, we would probably see some other areas. Fort McMurray, we've got a lot of oil sands and mining happening, for example. It tends to pop up a little more if you've got a finer scale mapping exercise. So in terms of methodology, each site is set up as a stratified random plot. We have 12 reps, and within each replicate, we've got 12 plots. So when we go out to sample a site, we sample one of those 12 plots, and we're working our way through. Each time it's a destructive sampling, so the next time we come out, we go to another plot. So there's enough there to do 12 sampling events, and we do that on a 4-year cycle, so potentially 44 years of monitoring before we're done. We sample 2 sites every year on a 4-year rotation, and when we sample the sites, we dig a pit and we sample off the sidewall so that we can get fairly precise depth increments in that way. And we sample the LFH if it's present at the site, and then we sample fairly shallow depths near the surface, and we get into larger depth increments as we work our way down. We go to a depth of 60 centimeters. And when we started the program, we analyzed all the depths, and again, with budget constraints, we're now analyzing the samples down to a depth of 10 centimeters. We analyze pH and calcium chloride. We analyze soluble cations from a saturated paste extract, and we analyze for exchangeable cations in barium chloride. And from that data, we calculate some parameters. We calculate base cation to aluminum ratios, calcium to aluminum ratios, and percent base saturation. The calcium to aluminum, the base cation to aluminum, are done on the soluble extracts, and of course, base saturation is done on the barium chloride extract. So we'll look at the data that we've gotten from the sites, and we'll start at the south of the province. And this is both of these sites are on native rangeland. They're short grass prairie sites, semi-arid grassland soils, Chernozems in the Canadian system. And you'll notice not real high acid deposition at Esther, and at Twin Butte we actually have modeled no acid inputs, and that's because In that part of the province, we're actually getting more base cation deposition than we're getting acid cation. So we would expect from that that Twin Butte site is not going to show acidification. Both these sites are quite sandy. Twin Butte has a little more fine textured material in it, so probably a little bit more buffered as well. At the Ester site, this is pH in the 0 to 2 centimeters, and it's difficult to draw a trend out of that. Some suggestion that maybe it's dropping, but it's within a very narrow range, so I would say we're not seeing much effect at Ester. Not surprising, there's not really high acid inputs there. The P values there refer to an ANOVA looking at difference between sites, difference between dates, rather. We haven't actually done trend analysis. It's just purely looking at, are there statistical differences between the dates? And the last time we did a full statistical analysis was for a report that we published in 2010. So the p-values don't refer to all the data that's in the graph. The years that are included are specified there. At Twin Butte, as we would expect, we don't really see any changes in pH there at all. In terms of base saturation, again, not much in the way of trends. You'll see both these sites are quite high base status. There's maybe a hint of a drop at Ester, but I would be reluctant to draw too many conclusions about that. And at Twin Butte, really no change at all. Even though statistically we can measure a difference between dates, but really no evidence of a change, which we would expect at that site. And base cation to aluminum ratios at Ester, there's suggestion of a drop in base cation to aluminum ratios, as one would expect if we're getting some acid inputs. But this is a difficult parameter. It's an attractive parameter in the sense that it ties to plant response. It's linked to aluminum coming into solution, and of course plants find aluminum toxic to some extent. So it's a good parameter from that, but because it's a ratio and it's really dependent on that aluminum in the denominator, and if you happen to get some high values or some low values one year, you can introduce quite wide swings into that ratio. So it can be a difficult one to work with sometimes, and we see evidence of that, especially in the early years at Ester, a lot of variability. Twin Butte, again, really no evidence of any change there at all, and a lot of variability. Also notice the difference in scales. That Twin Butte has much, much higher base cation to aluminum ratios than Ester does. So Ester, I think, is naturally a more acidic site than the Twin Butte site, even in the absence of inputs. Moving north, we'll look at the Parkland sites. A little higher acid input has been modeled for these sites. The Devon site sits downwind from some coal-fired gas plants. That was the main reason for putting it in that location. The Bruderheim site sits downwind from the city of Edmonton, and so it's getting emissions from the city, as well as a fair bit of heavy industry that's on the east side of the city and some of the surrounding communities. Both of these sites are in jack pine stands, and they're both quite sandy, as all our sites are. Devon has a little bit more fine texture material in it. In the Canadian system, these are brunosols, so basically acidic sands. In terms of pH, at Devon we see a decline. Still, we're working within a fairly narrow range, but it looks like there has been a general decline at the site. At Bruderheim, we saw a decline in pH over the early years of the study. And then we ran into something that we have to deal with on these long-term plots, and that's disturbances that we don't have any control over. And that area around Bruderheim, that it's within a natural area, and it had burned in 2009. And so we can really see the effect of the fire there as it's introduced the ash from the fire onto the plots and essentially reset that site back to a higher pH level. In terms of base saturation, we don't really see much change at Devon at all in terms of base saturation. Again, it's a fairly high base site. Bruderheim, it seemed like we were seeing some declines in bases in base saturation at that site. And again, the fire, we can see the influence of the fire reintroducing bases onto the surface. And these soils are so coarse that things move into them pretty quickly. And base cation to aluminum ratio, no real clear trends, especially at Devon. It's pretty hard to interpret what's happening there. Bruderheim, maybe some hint of a decline, but again, we're dealing with a parameter that has a lot of variability in it, so it can be tough to interpret. And then moving to our last pair of sites, we'll talk about two that are in the boreal area. So Fort McMurray, we've got a large area of oil sands, open pit mines. That's an interesting site. It's one that was pretty, is to the north, a fair ways to the north and east of the mines. There's some initial mining back in 1981 when it started. Now it's just about surrounded by mines. There's been so much development over the course of the years since we started monitoring. Cold Lake is also an oil sands related site, but it's located downwind of some in-situ oil sands. So rather than the surface disturbance with mining, it's more an in-situ approach and some of the emissions around that. Very similar sites visually. They're both jack pine lichen sites, very sandy. Brunosols again. At Cold Lake, we can see a clear decline in pH over the years. And at Fort McMurray, where we might have expected to see perhaps higher emissions and more response, we really don't see a strong response in terms of pH there at all. A fair bit of variability. And base saturation, again, we're seeing possibly a bit of a decline at Cold Lake. At Fort McMurray, you'll notice it's a much lower base status site compared to Cold Lake. And see perhaps some declines in early years, but again, it's a bit hard to interpret. That's flattened out. And there's some interesting things going on there related to emissions reductions over the early years as we started to clamp down on the sulfur being emitted by some of the upgraders. Later years, we've got, as more mines go up, we've actually got more dust emissions. Some of the mines are mining through a limestone deposit, so we've got potentially more calcium being deposited on the sites via dust. So it's kind of a complicated site to really sort out what's happening there. Base cation to aluminum ratios, again, at Cold Lake, we see evidence of that variability that we always fight with that parameter, especially one year we've had a real spike due to some possibly analytical problems, not really sure, but we were getting quite low aluminum numbers in the analysis that year. Fort McMurray, we don't really see much response at all in terms of base cation to aluminum. So in summary, I think we've got parameters that are sensitive indicators of soil acidification. We're seeing some responses. Variability is always an issue in these long-term sites, and especially with that base cation to aluminum parameter. We've really focused on sensitive soils, and we are seeing some evidence of acidification there, but we're also dealing with external factors like fire that can have a real influence over the course of time. We've also fought with various kinds of disturbances, trying to fend them off the plots, especially in Fort McMurray where there's so much activity going on. We haven't been monitoring vegetation at the sites. I don't see any obvious vegetation effects related to acidification, but it could be there's some subtle effects that we would notice if we had a good monitoring program in place. So that's one thing I wish we had with this set of sites. And just to notice that the sites, the soils themselves, really they vary in their initial condition. So as we move south to north, we tend to see decrease in pH and decrease in base saturation just naturally because of the climate over which these soils have developed and the parent materials they've been developed in. So with that, if I have some time, I could take a couple of questions.
There is time for a couple of questions. Do you have any trends for precipitation
pH or something like that? No, we don't, unfortunately. The one site in Fort McMurray has had a fairly intensive air monitoring program, but only since about 2000. So we could put some data together for that window, but nothing prior to that. So that's one of the pieces that's really missing in this program. I wish we had better data. Yeah.
You mentioned in each of these sites that their sort of proximity downwind from different mining development projects, but is there any elevational change or anything else that might influence how those air currents are moving and either depositing or not?
I think so. I think especially at our southern sites, the Esther site's on a bit of a south-facing slope. Same for the Twin Butte site. It's interesting. It's on quite a south-facing slope. you can actually see a large stack from one of our large sour gas plants off in the distance. So you'd expect it to be getting acidic depositions, but it isn't. But most of them have some slope to it, so I would expect that may be playing a role for sure.
All right, we'll have to move on, but thank you very much.